Meseches Gittin, Perek Hey, Mishnah Gimel. We continue our discussion of Takanas made for Tikkun Olam. Now we start off by talking about somebody who purchases a field from somebody else who had stolen it. Now that person, the buyer, is forced to return it to its original owner who it was stolen from. And he can then recover his purchase money and his other losses, including the produce that he had grown on the field and any improvements, the cost of any improvements he had made to the property. He can recover all of that from the person he purchased it from. But now we're going to talk about some limitations on that. Zok the Mishnah. Ein mitzien la'achilas peiros. We do not collect for the consumption of the produce that he had to surrender, for the shvach kakois, or for the cost of the improvements to the property that he made. We do not collect those, and then turning to another category of collections, v'lemzayin ho'isha v'habanais, or for the support of a woman who is widowed and her daughters who are orphaned, where she had a ksuba that stipulated that she would be provided for from the assets of the husband until everybody was remarried. All of these categories are not collected min chasim mishubadim, from the chasim mishubadim, that is to say, from property that was sold to a third party. Mipnei sikana oilam, because of sikana oilam. The reasoning for this is as follows. Ordinarily, when one purchases real estate, lahalacha, they are taking it subject to any claims and any debts owed by the person who you are buying it from. And you assume that risk, and you're able to do a certain amount of due diligence to find out what those are. You can investigate what other sales he's made, that sort of thing. However, when it comes to these categories of debts that you were taking it subject to, achilas peiros on property that was stolen, shvach kakois to such property, and for that matter, mezayin ha'isha v'habanais, all of these categories cannot be quantified because you don't know exactly how much they are going to land up being, as opposed to another field which he had sold that you can look into and you can say exactly how much that field is worth and how much somebody might come to collect for the sale of that field. So, Mipnei Sikana Olam, we said that we're going to allow you only to collect it from Nechasim B'nei Chayim and not to harm anybody else who purchased from this person. The Mishnah continues, V'hamaitzi mitzia lo yishava, somebody who returns a lost object to its owner. And the owner claims that you're holding back part of a lost object. You're not returning everything I lost, and I suspect that you are holding back something else of mine that you have found. Ordinarily, we would force such a person to swear an oath that they are returning the entirety of what they found. However, b'pnei sikana olam, we said that we're not going to require this oath. Reason being, if people suspected that they might have to swear oaths in Bezdin every time they found and returned a mitzia, they wouldn't bother. They wouldn't bother picking up that lost wallet on the street because we know people are very reluctant to have to swear a shvua. Mishnah Dalet. Yisaimim shesamchu etzel bal habayis. Orphans who are relying on the supervision of a bal habayis. And we call this person a bal habayis, a house owner or a householder, because they're not an official guardian of these orphans. Or shemina lahen avien apetropis, or the father actually appointed for them an official guardian who's in charge of their affairs. Chayv la'aser peresehim. Such a person can take off, and is actually chayv to take off, the meiser of their charges. Now, the reason for this is, while ordinarily a person may not take off meiser of something that is not theirs, because these yisraelim are minors, and a minor cannot take off meiser either, and we want them to be able to consume their produce, we, as Bezdin, allow such a guardian or apotropos to take off meiser for them. Going on in the Mishnah, apotropos sheminohu avi yisraelim yishava. A guardian who is appointed by the father of the orphans is going to be obligated at the end of his guardianship, when the orphans reach the age of majority, to swear to them that he did not take any of the estate, he hasn't taken any assets which rightfully belong to them, and kept it for himself. However, minohu Bezdin, if Bezdin appointed this guardian, lo yishava, he's not obligated to swear. However, Abba Shaul says, chiluf hadvarim, the matter is the other way around. An apotropos appointed by the father does not have to swear, whereas an apotropos appointed by Bezdin does have to swear. The svara behind the machlekes is as follows. Both the Tanna Kamma and Abba Shaul agree that we have to fight a reluctance on the part of people who would ordinarily serve as an apotropos but don't want to because they're going to have to make a shvua at the end of their duties, and people do not like to take a shvua. Now, the Tanna Kamma holds that where the apotropos was appointed by the father must have made some arrangement to compensate the apotropos, and this compensation will overcome the reluctance about taking a shvua, and so we're going to make him take the shvua, On the other hand, where the apotropos is appointed by Besdin and he's not being compensated for his duties, in such a situation, we are not going to require the shvua so that we would be able to find people to serve as an apotropos. Avishol holds it the other way around because he feels that the apotropos serving on behalf of the father, he is doing a favor for the father. And therefore, we don't want to force him to swear because if he's going to have the additional responsibility of taking a shvua, he's never going to want to do this favor. On the other hand, Avishol says, an apotropos appointed by Besdin is the beneficiary of a certain amount of prestige that comes with this position because there's a recognition by Besdin that he's trustworthy. And so, because you have this added prestige factor, there's enough of an incentive to overcome the disinclination to take a shvua. Continuing in the Mishnah, hamatame, somebody who takes somebody else's tahar food and makes it tameh, the hamadamea, or somebody takes somebody else's chulin and he mixes in trumois, the hamanasech, or if you take yayin nesech and spill it into somebody else's wine, so you're causing damage to this other person, but it's hezek sheini nikar. It's not physically perceptible damage, b'shoigeg pater, you're going to be pater. Because you're not chayiv for hezek sheini nikar under ordinary circumstances. However, b'mezid, if you did this on purpose, we're going to penalize you mipnei tikkun ha'olam, and we're going to say, chayiv, you are responsible to pay for the difference in value now in what you've affected. Hakayhanim, similarly, kayhanim shepiglu ba'mikdash. If they made a carbon pigle, and that is if they shechted it or they did the zrikas hadam, having in mind to eat this at a time that is beyond the time you're allowed to eat the carbon. So let's say you're supposed to finish eating the carbon by that evening, and they had in mind that they're going to eat it the next day, and that causes the carbon to be pigle, it's invalid. Mezidin, if they did this on purpose, Chayavin, they are chayiv, even though, again, it's hezek she'enei nikar, we're going to penalize them mishum tikkun ha'olam.